Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
What would it be like to watch The Nightmare Before Christmas as a Thanksgiving film? Today, we're going to be discussing the messaging of The Nightmare Before Christmas. We're going to talk a lot about what it would be like to watch this movie as Thanksgiving. Before, we've had these episodes before where we talked about, is it Christmas or Halloween? We've reviewed the film in several times. You guys have heard me troll. And I'm going to admit today that I am trolling when I say it is a Thanksgiving film. But this time we're really going to talk about it as if it were. We are going to be focusing on messaging. We're not going to be focusing on like some of the history behind it. We're not going to be rating the film, any of that stuff. So if you're here for like the fun, super nerdy Disney stuff, this is more like a fun Thanksgiving holiday special that we're just going to be talking about some of the messages and going through it. So don't expect a lot of that. Expect a little bit of that because I can't help myself. I am Joshua Noel. I am here with the one, the only, the pod almighty. You might say that when it comes to podcast realm specifically, he is omnipotent, the one and only. TJ, Tiberius One Blackwell. Take that, Tom Ord. I like how like I've just started this like thing where it's just like, take that, Tom. And we're also here with the one and only, another fan of Tom Ord. Secretly, we're all fans of Tom Ord, even if I pick him. The one and only Will Rose, my pastor. How is it going, the round-headed king?
Oh, I'm feeling rounded and shined and ready to roll.
It's gonna be going. I am the turkey king. If you follow the show for any extended period of time, you know, this is my favorite holiday. I think about it literally all year round, literally in January and like New Year's. People are like, New Year's resolutions, and I'm like, my resolution has to do with something Thanksgiving. How I'm gonna do it different this year. Anyway, and we are also here with the pod king. TJ is the pod king, so we're all a king of something today. Our own realms. And instead of doing our usual what we're geeking out on, I want to know something really important, guys. What side dish are you guys most excited for this Thanksgiving? It's coming out on Thanksgiving Day. What side dish are you most excited for today, Will?
I really can't wait. Some stuffing gravy. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, if you ask me tomorrow, it might be something a little different.
Classic, yeah.
But I think the stuffing. If do you count like turkey skin, like get the turkey skin off the turkey as a side?
I think it should.
Man, whatever you want to be aside.
I think it should count.
Whatever you're most thankful for.
Stuffing, gravy, and then some skin.
Yeah. Nice. TJ, what about you? What side are you most excited for?
Probably mashed potatoes. You can eat mashed potatoes all year. Yeah. I get it. And I do. I love mashed potatoes. I like to say I'm a big mashed potatoes guy. That's not really true. I'm like 5'6". On a good day, so like a slightly below average mashed potatoes guy.
Oh, I love them. You know, this was hard for me, mostly between macaroni and cheese with gravy or potatoes with gravy. Gravy is the given part. I'm going to go mashed potatoes specifically because like I can make my own mac and cheese. The mac and cheese I make at Thanksgiving is special, but I do it sometimes throughout the year just because I'm like, man, I... Like, it'll be, like, March, and something will upset me, and I'm like, I just need a little piece of Thanksgiving to get me through March, and I'll make my Thanksgiving mac and cheese. But my mom makes some mashed potatoes that I can't seem to replicate. So that's what I'm excited for. She does this thing with, like, cream cheese in it, and, like, I try, and I think my potatoes have gotten better. It's just, I don't know, something about it. Last year, specifically, they were on point.
His potatoes are pretty good. Josh's potatoes.
Except for that one time I burned them.
Maybe more than once.
Yeah. I do enjoy making mashed potatoes. But with that, guys, you know, we're also thankful for people who take their time and rate and review our podcast, wherever you get it. If you're just, you know, you're on the road and you're listening to this on Thanksgiving Day, hey, just know we're thankful for you. We appreciate it. And if you have time, you know, if, you know, you ate a little bit, you got to spend some time in the restroom, you got your phone out, might as well rate and review the show while you're there. And it does. It helps our show get noticed and all the algorithms and stuff. So we do really appreciate that. Also very thankful for all of our financial sponsors. Today, I want to specifically shout out Ethan Overcash. I met Ethan recently. He's awesome. He's incredible. It's one of those where, like, I say his name a lot. And now I'm like, wow, when I thank him on the show, I know who I'm talking about. And I'm like, I actually do really. This guy's awesome. Yeah. Also, guys, if you want your own shout out and for me to go on for no reason about you, you have to meet me. And also consider supporting our show for $5 a month on our website. That's going to be down in the show's description. You also can get some free extra content. You can get some merch down there. There's a, you can leave like a one-time financial gift if you're just thankful for what we do on the show. There's all kinds of stuff you do. So just make sure you check out the website when you got time. We appreciate it. We appreciate you. And I am super thankful for this holiday and for my friend who agreed to do this little exercise with me of watching The Nightmare Before Christmas as a Thanksgiving film. I already admitted it once. I'm going to say it again. I will keep saying that it's a Thanksgiving film, but I am trolling you when I say that. Like, I know that that's not correct. I feel like that needs to be said because I think some people don't know that I know that.
Well, for a long time, you wouldn't admit that.
Yeah, there's that. Yeah, I've seen the error of that.
Ever.
I'm thankful for your self-awareness,
Joshua. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I think this show has given you that. So I'm thankful for that.
It helps. This group, this community that we have, it really helps. And if people want to be a part of the community, we have a special Discord channel that they can be involved with if they become an official member on our website in the show's description. Oh, no, for real, though, I do want to run down. I'm going to ramble a little bit to give some people some context. And because I can't help some stuff. So some of the history behind, is this Christmas? Is it a Halloween movie? What is The Nightmare Before Christmas? There's actually a lot of history behind this that's really interesting. On our show, Systematic Ecology, we're doing a year of polarization. It would have been natural to do this debate again, but we've already done it. And there is actually just a very, there is an answer to this. It's both. The reason that it's both, I'm going to give you the reasons, guys. First of all, Tim Burton had the idea because he was just in a shop when they were taking Halloween stuff down and putting Christmas stuff up at the same time. And he said, huh, that's interesting. Let's do that. Literally canon. That's why he made the movie. It is both. Originally, it was going to be like a short because Disney just didn't really know what to do with Tim Burton. He got fired. He did some other stuff. He became a big name. Disney still owned the rights to this story. And he was like, I really want to make this film. They okayed it. They announced it was going to come out. Guess what weekend, guys?
Thanksgiving week.
Of course. It's going to come out Thanksgiving weekend. Why wouldn't it? Except for they did some screenings. It didn't do great. So Disney was like, let's put it under something else. It's a Tombstone film. It's not Disney. And of course, you know, Disney owns that. They just didn't want their name on it. So then they released it as a Halloween movie under Tombstone, even though originally when it was announced and they told everyone, they told everybody it was going to be Disney Animation coming out Thanksgiving weekend, and it ends up being a Touchstone film coming out in October because they don't want to mess with Christmas. They know the movie's not going to do well. So they did it in October. And then, of course, it became an absolute icon in our culture and something we still talk about 31 years later. People still constantly buy the merch. Disney is straight up taking over Disney World, Disneyland for the months of October through December. That's what you're getting. All the parades, everything's pretty much Nightmare Before Christmas. Like, that's the name of the game. So I think it was like 2004 that Disney started claiming it. So you have this, like, is it really Disney? Because it's also came out during the time of the Renaissance films. It's not considered part of the Renaissance era, though, because it wasn't originally released as a Disney film. Is it Christmas? Is it Halloween? It was supposed to come out for Thanksgiving to get ready for Christmas. Ends up coming out in October during Halloween season. It has both in there. The reason for my particular trolling joke, the film to me seems to be a lot about Jack not really being thankful for what he has, and he learns thankfulness, sort of. And of course, the movie takes place between Halloween and Christmas, not during one of those days, which is why I troll people and tell them it's a Thanksgiving film.
It is possible. So the scene that, like, actually solidifies that it's between the two says it is 35 days before Christmas, which would make it November 20th, which. Is a possible day for Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I've told people that that was Thanksgiving that year. I don't know if that's true, though.
It could be on it was. Because that would have been 93.
Yeah.
There's only one time to look up.
Yeah, Thanksgiving 1993. See what day that was.
I've been telling people that that was Thanksgiving, but I've never looked it up.
But yeah, there is a case to be made. Assuredly so. It's just so. I recommend that everyone listening tries to watch it as a Thanksgiving movie because it's difficult.
Disagree. I do think it's really easy to watch it as a Thanksgiving film because it is mostly about gratitude.
It's difficult because the door to Thanksgiving Town is the one that he lingers on the most before he decides to go to Christmas Town.
I will say that took me out. Nice. Watching a Thanksgiving movie, that is what took me out the most of watching it.
And then the Easter Bunny is in it and not, I don't know.
A turkey.
Like Betty Crocker, Martha Stewart. I don't know who would represent.
I'm the Turkey King, so I represent. Actually, you know what? Hear me out, Disney. You own Bob's Burgers now. Give us the short of Jack opening the turkey door, and it's just Bob. That's what I want.
Yeah, I want to. I just want to see 3-year-old John.
Be great.
I will say, we're going to talk about our history with this film, but I just watched it recently all the way through, all in one sitting, and I was really disappointed he didn't visit all the other towns. And I really want to see some shorts. If they want to keep this rolling, I want to see some shorts Nightmare Before Christmas Part 2 or a trilogy and see them visit all these towns. See, that's really what I was hoping. Didn't get. I would like to see more.
Those expectations, they're pesky. But I will say Tim Burton has shot down the idea. Yeah, he said he is absolutely not doing more of this because he thinks it stands on its own, doesn't need any more. But there are ways to get more stories in this realm. There's a comic coming out next year.
Ooh,
that I'm going to have TJ. I'm going to have TJ pronounce some of the names later on when I recommend it.
Torin.
Because I don't know how to say any of these names.
Torin. Ryan Doe spoke with her and we interviewed her across the Bifrost. So, yeah, there you go.
Sweet. Nice. I'll also plug that in the description if I remember.
A lot of F-bombs, but she's good.
Yeah. What I'm going to say. Also, this is a great segue into my introduction to this film. We're going to talk about our own history with it. So mine, it's not going to surprise anybody. I've said it before, but any excuse to say the name Kingdom Hearts. Of course, I wasn't allowed to watch this film as a kid. I wasn't allowed to play a video game called Kingdom Hearts. And I come upon Halloween Town, and I'm like, this is freaking awesome. Donald Duck's magic makes us all like Halloween characters while you're there. You're running around Jack the Skeleton. And what I didn't know till later on, so I played Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2 before I ever watched this movie, because I wasn't allowed to as a kid. I thought that this was what the movie was Kingdom Hearts 1. Nope. Kingdom Hearts 1 is a prequel. You're hanging out with Jack and doing stuff only in Halloween Town. Kingdom Hearts 2 is when he goes to Christmas Land and all that, and it's kind of implied that he's been to Christmas Town before, so I think Kingdom Hearts 2 might happen after this film. We're not really sure, though. So, it is some fun stuff, though. So, if you want more in this world, comic books and Kingdom Hearts are so far the only things I know of.
There is the game does technically like take place after the movie, like the actual adaptation.
There's a video game?
Video game, yeah. It's called like Boogie's Revenge or something. Fun. Something like that. And there is also a sequel book. It's a novel. It's a young adult novel, and it's called Return of the Pumpkin or something that Disney put out that I haven't read.
That's pretty cool.
Do they go to another like holiday town?
I haven't read it.
I don't know. No idea. I will say, like, I think too. It's just so wild to me, like for my generation and after, instead of Jack and Diane, it's Jack and Sally. Like even in songs, you know, it's like that's just anyway.
Hey, friends, it's your pal Will Rose here. And let me break the fourth wall a moment and look directly at you through the camera or speak directly to you in your earbuds. Yep, I'm talking to you, Susie. You too, Chad. You can now support Systematic Geekology on Fourth Wall. That's a website. You'll find all of our episodes, incredible merch like shirts and hoodies and mugs. Chad, I would love to see you in one of those shirts out in the wild.
You get bonus episodes. We answer bonus questions. We have special shout outs. We have certain episodes that use pick. So you help us create and curate the content that we put out for the world to hear. You even get free merch.
And you can support the show at different levels. You could join at the free level. Yep, we love free members, free support. Join it. Or you could become a sidekick for as little as $5 a month. You could join the elves and dwarves for $10 a month. You become a wizard for $15 a month. Or you could go to divinity school and become a cleric for $20 a month. And that's way cheaper than going to seminary, believe me. Or at $25 a month, you could become a superhero. And let me just say, we love all of our listeners, whether you support us at the free level or the superhero level. We love you. We love geeking out with you. Like, support, share the show. Love you.
We're past legacy. TJ, you're already up on the big screen. Can you tell us what your history with the film is?
Yeah, well, it's older than me, and so is my sister. Mm-hmm. So I've watched it forever.
Were you allowed to when you were in the womb?
Oh yeah, my parents didn't care. Okay. Whatever.
I knew whatever. The answer to that.
My sister was born in 1990, so my dad and mom liked The Simpsons, so we watched The Simpsons every Friday when a new one came out. Forever, my entire life. They didn't really care what we watched.
All right, well, take us home. What is your history with Kingdom Hearts?
I'm very familiar. So this movie came out when I was in college, and I've never watched this movie all the way. I've seen clips, definitely know the memes and the merch, and that it is a Hot Topic fever dream for anybody who loves Hot Topic. There's just back skeleton everywhere. So I understand, I know the lore with this movie. It's bridge between Halloween and Christmas, controversy around Halloween. I think it's a Christmas movie. But the so I took the assignment. Josh was like, what if we watch this through the lens of Thanksgiving? Did you watch? Like, oh, I'm going to watch it. So I literally watched it last night all the way through before recording this. So it's very fresh in my head.
Last time I watched it, I watched half of it a couple of days ago while I was cutting onions. And then I watched the other half of it today while I was cutting onions. I get very bored cutting onions.
I actually came home from work today, watched it.
Nice. So this film is wild, first off. I just want to say, if you haven't seen it, it's wild. We're not going to do in-depth description today. It's Thanksgiving. You guys got things to do. But I'm gonna challenge us all. If your family, this is like pre-heaven, post-this life, whoever you want to as part of your family, your dead cat's alive now, grandparents, everybody's here. Everybody. Will's great-great-great-grandchildren. All right. Whole family's together. We're going to watch this film after Thanksgiving dinner. That's the plan. And before we get ready to sit down, your grandmother comes up to you and is like, hey, what's this movie about? Could you describe this film like you were describing it to your grandmother, TJ?
Yeah, I would tell her that it is about the King of Halloween learning about Christmas and trying to take over.
Mm-hmm. I think my description would be pretty similar if it was to my last remaining grandparent, which is my dad's mom. She reads a lot. She's very, I'll say, stoic. I think that's probably accurate. But I think it's more fun to tell you guys how I would describe it to my granny, my mom's mom. Because she, for the record, would not watch Star Wars because that green guy's ugly. Bless his heart. And like, she's like, I don't like that. I don't like that. He's ugly. Mm-mm. She wouldn't watch it. So I want to describe like as it her. So I would tell her the pumpkin king and a bunch of ugly people, a lot of ugly creatures are going to visit Christmas. And because like I would want to warn her, she would not like this. She would just not be a fan of Tim Burton. And I feel like if she knew who Tim Burton was, that's all I would have to tell her. And she'd be like, I'm good. But I could just hear her talking about how they're all ugly and what happened to his face? Because the thing is, she loved everybody. She was so precious, but she did not like creepy things at all, which is funny because my grandfather, let's watch kaiju films and things blow up and likes all the monsters and thinks it's great. But that's, they had a very unique relationship. Will, you're describing this to your grandmother.
Yes.
What do you want to know going in?
Grandma Burling, God rest her soul, probably the grandparent that I spent the most time with and probably closest with. And there's so many questions that I would love to ask her thoughts on now with the state of the world. I would love to hear it. She was a feisty, mm-hmm. feisty woman, my mom's mom. And I doubt she ever experienced, I doubt she experienced Tim Burton or anything that is involved with Tim Burton. So mm-hmm. I would go to her and say, like, this is a movie about a hero's journey who rediscovers their true calling and mm-hmm. not give any mm-hmm. other, mm-hmm. any other like kind of hint of what it's about. Like, sounds like a movie. Sit her down to watch it and just get out the popcorn and watch her reaction to the different scenes, especially the scene where the kid
you're not telling about all the ugly creatures.
No, that kid pulls out a shrunken head out of like the present, the gift, and the or the stocking or whatever, have her turn looking. What are you? And I would be there. So that's what I'm right
there. I just want to say we're not going to do rating or reviewing. I just can't help but throw this out because I was listening to some other podcasts talk about this recently because I want to make sure we're not just giving you guys what everybody else is doing. I think playing Kingdom Hearts has given me such an appreciation for the amount of detail in this thing. Because to me, having done that first, like I've gone through, I know, like I pull the spider for the ring to ring the doorbell. I've seen, you know, the creature who rips his face out, like all this stuff. Like I know where all the stuff is because I played the game first. And then I'm watching the movie and I'm like, oh, they didn't make this up for the game. Literally, there's just like one-liners here and there that's building an entire world in grave detail. Like you could watch this movie 100 times and probably still learn something.
It's yeah, wild. It really is. It's incredible. The production behind this movie is absurd. And so when you think Tim Burton, most people think of this, Beetlejuice, that's your Tim Burton movies. Tim Burton Batman. Tim Burton was hardly involved. Like he wrote the original poem. He, you know, was involved in getting workshopped. He visited the set 5 times. Visited the set of The Nightmare Before Christmas 5 times. Because he was too busy making Batman Returns.
Yeah. Hearing how this movie, like the development stories are all hilarious. For a long time, Disney apparently had a framed chunk of a wall that he kicked a hole in the wall. Because supposedly it is the only time anyone has seen Tim Burton lose his temper. Because somebody was like, what if Ookie Boogie was actually Dr. Finkelstein? He was like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever. And he got like rage quit. But he,
question. Is it claymation, stop animation? Is there any computer thing? It's just all.
There's a couple actual pictures that are involved, like technically live action, I guess you would say.
There's a tiny bit of traditional animation, which was done by
mostly claymation,
Disney feature animation, like tiny, tiny. And it's almost entirely claymation.
But if you feel like we have to mention, it was directed by Henry Selick, who goes back and forth to whether or not he thinks it's funny that he doesn't get mentioned that much. And he's like, yeah, I don't really care. And being super pissed off about it. So that's a thing. He's very touch and go with this.
He also did James the Giant Peach, if you don't recognize the name.
Yeah, that's so good. But yeah, the stories behind the development are all just hilarious. Because like apparently they had like all the sets and characters and everything before they had the story. And like Danny Elfman was making the songs. And then later they were like, yeah, so how do we get the story to match that song? So like, the world in the songs were more important than the actual story to them, but I don't think it shows. Like I feel like the story's pretty solid.
I think it shows. I think watching it.
Will this, with the bad this, opinions. Here we go.
I know. Call me the bad opinions, bad opinion king, or whatever. But I do think like the movie, I really did like it. And the creativity. You could watch it. I totally get all that. The lore of the character, Jack Skellington, Alan, deserves all the like Mount Rushmore Halloween characters that are out there. But I will say, it's sort of storyline and where it goes and how it holds together. I can tell it's just like, I really like this idea of this song. And we're going to create a movie around these series of playlists. And in terms of, because they jump really fast to a couple things and I wanted more. And it was a relatively short movie. It's a relatively short movie.
Yeah,
scheme of things, pretty short. Yeah. But I understand with all the what they had to do with the stop motion.
What's funny is, some of the biggest praises this film got was because people just donated money because they believed in what Tim Burton was doing. And they were like, yeah, it's great. They didn't have to cut anything out. They included everything they wanted to include. A lot of the praises it gets is that it was short and doesn't feel like it's missing anything. So I think it's really funny because Will's like, no, they're wrong.
Yeah. You know what's funny to me is it is like, I think it's a great movie. I love this movie. And it is my second favorite movie. Best. Second favorite movie that feels like that. That it feels like it was written around song.
What's the first one?
Jack and the Cuckoo Clock Heart.
Huh.
Phenomenal. Also stop motion movie, but it is written based off of an album from the French rock band Dionysus.
Nice. Yeah. Oh, wait.
They also made a song called Song for a Jedi. You've heard probably a lot.
I've heard a lot of that song because of DJ. But I want to say too. So with the story, part of why I like the story, even without the songs and everything else, I think it does stand on its own. I like that it kind of has a lot of your existential crisis kind of stuff, but without the death part. It's not because he's looking down death. Like, we're going to take that element out of it completely and say, wait a minute, what if the monotony of life is still bothersome, even if you're not looking down your finitude? Well, and I thought that was really interesting.
He names it. He was like, I'm immortal. I can't die. I'm undead. I'm a skeleton. And so where do you find joy? Where do you find creativity if it's just going on and on? Yeah, he names it.
And then that gets completely ripped off by The Good Place. I'm just going to move on from that. So, Will, what do you think the actual, before we get to watching this Thanksgiving film, what do you think the actual intending message of the film was?
I do think it's like this, what the existential question of where do we find life and creativity in our day-to-day routines. I really do think it is a hero's journey where someone rediscovers their true calling, and that no matter how, where you are, whatever holiday town, whatever favorite holiday you love, if you did it every single day, or that's everything that revolved around that, it would get a little old. It would get a little stale. How do you find a little bit extra zip? How do you find a little extra energy when things just seem like so routine and monotonous? And sometimes you rediscover your true calling by through others, and through looking through the lens of how other people see the world. So from a different perspective, mm-hmm. look at the world through a different perspective, maybe walking through a different portal, you discover you're like, maybe my where I grew up, where I've he mm-hmm. at one point he goes, I'm home. I've come back home. And so he rediscovered place.
Yeah. TJ.
And he was thankful.
TJ, what about you? If you had to the best of your ability describe what the actual message of this film was, what would you go with?
Stop motion is awesome, and Halloween is cool, and Christmas could be scary.
All right.
Oh man, I will all say, right, so, real fast. Yeah, Christmas is scary. I remember when Hannah was really, really little, and I was sharing with her that Santa is coming and going to put Christmas gifts in our living room. She was like, what? He's getting in our house tonight while I'm asleep? I'm like, yeah, don't let him in. I don't want a stranger in my house. I don't want any of that. She was petrified. I was like, yeah, you know, you're right. Just strangers in the house that you don't know. She's like, I don't know if I trust this guy. I don't know this guy. Don't let him in my house. Freaked her out.
Like, yeah, but really, I think it's about, like, don't be afraid to try new things. You know, even if you fail spectacularly.
Yeah.
You won't know until you try.
That's true. Because Jack says, at least I tried. Like he's still glad that he tried. Yeah. Yeah. It's funny though that with Will's thing, as Tiffany tells a story, like when she was young, she hated the "I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus" song. I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I get it. Okay, so for me, if I'm being honest and not just trolling, I think I don't think it has a message as much as it's asking us a question. I think it wants us to be introspective and to ask, what if you're missing stuff in your life because of the monotony of everyday life? Like, I think it's asking us what if that's the case. Because you know, you see, you know, Jack is missing some stuff and he doesn't realize it, because instead of observing his own life, what he goes and finds something else, he does this whole thing. Is he glad he did it? Because it gave him a new perspective. But I think at the end, what you see is Jack's missing how great his own calling was. He's missing Sally being completely infatuated with him. He's missing a lot because he's so bogged down with monotony and just doing the same thing over and over. He just doesn't take the time to notice what he does have. And I think it's asking that question for us to look at ourselves and go, am I doing that? And why I think it's a Thanksgiving movie is because I naturally almost immediately answer with that with, oh, I know how to tell by being thankful for what I have. like my natural response to that is Thanksgiving, which is why I naturally am like, oh yeah, of course, Thanksgiving.
Right. Which is very normal and adjusted thing that normal people do. Yes.
I can't tell if he's joking or not.
This, obviously, is about Thanksgiving.
Yes. Being thankful for what you have. Okay, so how does the meaning change, DJ, then? If we do watch it as a Thanksgiving movie, we try to do this. How does that impact, like, what new things can you get out of the film by watching it this way?
Me, personally? I got a lot of, man, this is not about Thanksgiving. I did.
That's funny.
That's really what That's I got funny. Out of it, trying to watch it as a Thanksgiving movie. Because honestly, I love this movie. I just get lost in it, and I kept forgetting that I was trying to watch it. Like,
I mean, because
I'm not a movies or tied to this kind of person. I watched Muppets Christmas Carol yesterday, not because we're getting close to Christmas, just because I really like Muppets Christmas Carol.
All right, Will, same question.
Well, given the assignment to watch the movie through that lens, I was really anticipating the entire time them going to Thanksgiving Town. They never did. I was really disappointed.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. If this was expectations, I'm watching it all the way through, and you were told to watch it like it was a Thanksgiving movie, I could see how that would be pretty jarring.
Oh, that's funny.
No, I totally get it. Like the whole all the holidays, and it's not what you get out of the holiday, as we get into it. And mindfulness and don't take granted things that you have and what your life revolves around. I think Jack Skeleton had a big to-do list when it comes to Halloween. It's over. Then he's let down. He's like, I feel an emptiness inside. Now this, I have to start all this over again. And he misses the fact that Sally is an oppressed captive who needs liberation. You know, if he hadn't been so got bogged down with the big to-do list, maybe he would have noticed there's someone who needs freeing from the oppressor. Mm-hmm. And there is a sense of where does the gratitude come from, and what shakes you out of routine and just taking things for granted. There's things along the way. Maybe it is appropriating someone else's town and making it your own that wakes you up out of.
Yeah, I didn't think about the cultural appropriation.
that's
funny though. So, full disclosure, I watch this every year as a Thanksgiving film. The movie takes place during November. Just makes sense to me. There's not a lot of other Thanksgiving movies. Like, there's just not a lot of Thanksgiving movies. This is what. I'd do this in some specials, TV specials. Yeah, Free Birds. For me, though, watching it as Thanksgiving, it feels natural to me, but because it does feel like it, I will say, though, going in with the mindset, I think makes me like Jack Skeleton a lot less, because what you see is like, OK, I'm thinking about being thankful for what, you know, thankfulness, that kind of stuff. And here's this dude, and he has this whole crisis moment. His whole crisis that he has to come back from is, man, I'm the greatest of all time. I have never once failed. This sucks. And I'm like, man, this guy a little bit irritates me when I watch it as a Thanksgiving film, because I'm like, man, you're the Pumpkin King. You have pretty much the only real female character in your town likes you. You know, and it's like, hold up now. The mayor comes to you for answers. Dr. Finkelson is like, whatever you want, sure. You know, the whole town basically worships him. And he's like, this sucks. So, obviously I get a lot out of it going, hey, am I missing that? Well, you know, obviously I have problems with self-confidence. I down on myself. And I'm like, am I maybe a jerk like Jack? And sometimes I'm like, actually really good at stuff. And I feel down and someone's looking at me going, I hate that guy. How can he be down on himself? You know, it's like when you play. I love my pop-up. I'm going to tell a story about him. We played golf with him one holiday, and we all immediately hit the ball into the pond. And he's like, oh, it's fine. You guys are doing great. And then he hits it barely into the pond. It's, man, a blind man with one arm and no legs could have hit better than that. And so we're like, wait a minute, Papa. Didn't you just tell us? But I think that's a little bit what I get out of this film. It's like, this guy's the greatest. And he still can't appreciate it. And I think it's just hard not to reflect on that for me. So, Will, what parts of this felt most natural, if natural at all, to watch this as a Thanksgiving film?
Well, there was that moment when they come upon the portal to Thanksgiving Town, but never go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That feels the most natural.
There is a turkey.
There's a turkey.
Yeah, true.
I was so thinking, I did not think that they accidentally kidnapped the Easter Bunny. I thought it was going to pop out of that thing. It was going to be a turkey. It's like, oh, because Joshua said.
Wouldn't that have made sense?
And I was like, that would have made sense.
So me trolling impacted your expectations and maybe ruined the movie for you. Maybe I'm Jack. I'm the bad guy.
Then I think about it. I'm like, you know what?
I'm Oogie Boogie.
It shouldn't have been a turkey. It should have been the Easter Bunny. I like that. Sometimes the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, what the hell does that have to do with Christianity? And you're like, well, that's what you where you have to kind of bust out the scientific methods and find out what
I'm not going to explain myself at all, but I posit that Jack Skeleton has more to do with Christianity than the Easter Bunny. TJ.
I think I'm going to revisit that point that Will just brought up again. We need a good Thanksgiving entity, because
it's me.
Whenever it comes up, it's always this. It's always Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, you know, like Rise of the Guardians. You got the Easter Bunny. He's Australian for some reason.
That's such a good.
Such.
Can we talk about that sometime?
We should talk about that sometime.
Talk about that during Easter.
You too.
The part that naturally feels like. Yeah. Part that naturally feels like. Let's talk about it for Christmas.
Okay.
the part that feels naturally like Thanksgiving to me is none of it, but the part that feels the closest is definitely when Jack Skellington gets back to Halloween Town after he has his revelation of like, I'm the Pumpkin King.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back there and I'm going to do what I'm best at. And I'm going to kill Oogie Boogie, by the way. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him when I get back.
Murder.
Actually,
unless Kingdom Hearts 2 is canon, in which case he might still be.
Well, you have Santa, you have the Easter Bunny. If there's a Thanksgiving entity, you can't have the turkey because the turkey's always murdered to be eaten. That can't be the like mascot.
Bob from Bob's Burger. Bob from Bob's Burger.
Gotta be like Tom Thumb or something.
Something. Okay. For
a big mashed potatoes. Just a big blob of mashed potatoes.
For myself.
As eyeballs.
I am going to agree with TJ. And I'm going to expand on a little bit. Beginning of the film. This is Halloween. They have a song. You see the world. You know everything that Halloween is about. The spookiness. It's the scare. That's the fun. You go to Christmas. It's about the jolly, happy children. Snow. You know, it tells you what Christmas is about. You have, what's this? You know, that tells you exactly what Christmas Town is. Through the eyes of Jack, of course. But then at the very end, he goes back to Halloween Town. And it's just this him realizing, I'm thankful that I did this. I'm thankful for who I am. I'm thankful for the people in my life. And it's just a great show of gratitude. It's just him going around being thankful. And I'm like, yeah, that's what it's about, you know, which is why I have a hard time when the crescendo of the film is about being thankful. I have a really hard time thinking it's Halloween or Christmas. It's easy to think both. It's easy to think neither. I have a really hard time putting it in one camp, though, when it's like clearly the message of the film wasn't either of those things, because the crescendo of the film didn't end with this is Halloween. It ends with him having gratitude. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's where I'm at. Yeah. What part, and I think I know the answer, felt least genuinely like a Thanksgiving film, TJ?
Opening scene, this is Halloween.
I didn't know the answer. I thought he was going to say all of it.
That felt a lot like Halloween to me.
Whenever my answer is whenever you see like zombie or undead or skeleton creature vampire or a werewolf or a Frankenstein monster or a Bride of Frankenstein, whenever you see a monster or pumpkin or a skeleton, whenever you see that, it kind of throws me for a loop.
Mm-hmm.
My pushback is I argue that the season of Thanksgiving starts with the Day of the Dead. And it actually starts by you being thankful for your past loved ones. Then it goes into being thankful for the saints and then All Souls. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, it starts with, you know, so the skeletons and zombies. I'm like, yeah, okay. I think that can be Thanksgiving.
I like your werewolves push and stuff in marketing so that we do. Earlier, it does feel like that the Halloween stuff comes off the shelf and immediately Christmas pops on. And there's no room for like fall or November. I will agree. Mm-hmm. I had that same experience of walking into like a store not that long ago, and Santa's right beside like a zombie, literally. And I'm like, oh, here you go. There's a Saint and Sinner. Well,
that was
like
the inspiration
whole,
for this film.
I experienced the same thing. Yeah. Like, there's no in between. Where's my Thanksgiving tree?
And that's like, I've talked about this before. I think America has probably unintentionally created a liturgy of our holiday calendar. And it does go from Halloween and being scared and thinking about our mortality into being thankful for what we have, into then looking to new hope with Christmas and, you know, the winter solstice, all that stuff. And I feel like there's a little bit of a natural progression. Yeah.
And Thanksgiving's mm-hmm. an important then taxes.
Part. Yeah.
I think taxes. And then they make you wait to think about
you start all over and you're like,
they try to separate death and taxes. It's wake up, people.
For me, the part that felt the least genuine like a Thanksgiving film is the part that felt most genuine to Will right there. You see the turkey and it's like he's choosing not to go to Thanksgiving Town. That's the part where I'm like most takes me out of it when I'm trying to watch it as a Thanksgiving film. Well, man, it's hard for me to make this argument when he sees Thanksgiving and chooses not that
door. At least
it's
side by side. Like, yeah, Thanksgiving and they have the timeline. Mm-hmm. Like, it would have been bad if on the other side. At least they should.
Also, St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, I'm glad that
what's
got
that
one.
Is that door just,
just green beer. Lots of green beer.
Takes you straight it takes you to some rowdy, rowdy
you fall
parties
into a
in
river
Boston,
of beer.
Chicago. Yeah, you just go in. It's a bunch of drunken party.
One thing.
Hey guys, Christian here. Have you ever wondered how you can support Systematic Ecology? Well, we've made it a lot easier for you by going to Fourth Wall. Instead of what we've done in the past, Fourth Wall makes everything very easy for everyone involved. Everything is in the same spot. So if you want to find a way to become a member and get access to our exclusive memberships and all the giveaways that we're going to be doing, Fourth Wall is the way to go. As well, if you want to see all the extra episodes and content that we only put to our members, that's the best way to go. Feel free to rate and review us there. You can also leave a donation or tip if that's something you're interested in. And as well, you can help support our All Reading Counts initiative that we do. All the donations that go to that go to our libraries. You also, if you really want to, it's like, man, I really want to hear more episodes about Christian for some reason, or even for even reasons I don't understand, you want to hear Joshua more often. We have episodes listed by host, and you can see everyone there. If you have a favorite host, head that way and support the episodes that they're on. You also find a link to our YouTube page, and we may be adding some special content beyond what we've promised. Everything that was once in multiple different locations and you didn't know where to go, well, it's all in that one convenient place. If you want to know exactly where to go, the link to this will be in the description below.
Okay, so what big crux of the film is Jack's desire to switch things up for a different holiday than his own, to do something different than he's been doing over and over and over and over that he's the absolute best at, you know, whatever. What does Jack's desire for a different holiday say about our own seasonal restlessness or search for meaning? Pastor Whit.
Oh, here we go. My favorite scene in the entire movie is when he busts out the book that says the scientific progress, scientific method. And he's trying to scientifically figure out what the meaning of Christmas is. And he has equations. He has math. He's really trying to put his hands on what this holiday really means. And that's the question, right? What does it do for me? I got an idea when it comes to Christ Mass, the Mass of Christmas. I got an idea of what Christmas means. But it's really, I don't think this is a Thanksgiving movie as much as it is a dialogue between faith and science. Because in the midst of that science, he's asking, you know, maybe. Even if I can't see it, still, so I love it. Maybe this is a faith in science.
If I had to put it in a category, I put it as a love film, personally.
Ooh,
I think it's primarily a love story. Not just between him and Sally. I think it's the whole community. And that's what, to me, one of my favorite scenes is actually when he's going back trying to describe Christmas and no one's understanding him. And to me, this might be a little bit weird. Like pastors, podcasters, a lot of people who spend time on stage. I see this a lot because even though, you know, I do a little bit of that, but I'm around a lot of people who do stuff like that. And a lot of times they've so much put their identity into I'm the pumpkin king. I'm the pastor. I'm the one on the stage. I'm the one with the mic that sometimes, you know, they go out to do stuff and then they're like talking to friends and everybody's like, huh? Like they love them, but they're like, huh? And I think this is him realizing he doesn't actually have a relationship with the people of Halloween Town, including Sally. So I think a lot of it, I think, has to do with that. So I think he had to switch it up for him to realize what he had. But I think what he had was love. And man, that like people hate when you answer stuff that way. Like, the answer was love. But I think this time it actually probably was. Yeah.
Do you I think it's the most easily relatable part of the movie. It's getting comfortable. He's in the rut. He's dealing with the monotony of his everyday life, and he just wants to see if something could change. And he's luckier than most of us because he is the king of Halloween. He's the pumpkin king. Yeah. You know, no matter what he does, pumpkin king. Not all of us can say that.
Yeah. Yeah. TJ can't tomorrow be like, you know what? I kind of want to know what it's like to work at Moe's, and then be like, I didn't like it, and go right back. Actually, he might because he's good at his job, but
maybe
a lot of people can't
probably
do that.
Not.
Yeah. But, Yeah. No, I like that.
But I think it's good. One more thing, pastoral privilege. I do think it's important to be intentional and mindful of why we do for any holiday, early celebration, there's birthdays or anniversaries or whatever season you're in. I think that's part of the challenge. And while these movies do ask that kind of existential question, why are we doing this in the first place? What's the meaning of all this? Are we just doing it because we always do it? I do like that message, especially as we exit Thanksgiving-ish. I know it's always Thanksgiving in Joshua's mind. To
I have
head
a lot
into
to be thankful for.
The season of Advent and waiting and preparing our hearts for the coming of our Lord at Christmas time or even the second coming. I think being mindful of and with our actions, what we do, and really good question and message.
Also, I said I've got plenty to be thankful for and realized that no one picked up on the reference. That's also one of my favorite Thanksgiving songs by Bing Crosby. Anyway, continuing. I want to ask you guys, you know, even though you know we had some challenges with this one for people who aren't me and aren't constantly thinking about Thanksgiving. TJ, you and I recently-ish this summer on Whole Church Podcast, we had someone on who explained to us the importance of Asian hermeneutics, Asian American hermeneutics, and we're reading the Bible through a specific context, right? And like we talk about this with different types of theology, feminist theology, all this stuff. And it's not that we're saying, oh, it's not the same truth. It's we're saying like it's actually important to look through these different perspectives to see something different. And that's kind of what we were trying to do here, right? Is watch this film from a different perspective of Thanksgiving to see if we can learn something new. I'm going to throw this to Will first as well, because he loves the term. How might exercises like this, Will, make us better geekologists?
It's important to look, you know, the age old saying of walk a mile in someone else's shoes so you can understand what they're feeling or thinking or looking through their lens, experiencing, being empathetic of what other people are experiencing in life and listening to that, I think is really important. Some people may, you know, and that's in the conversation of what's your favorite holiday, what we're getting at is what you resonate with. So someone may be having a really hard time with Christmas because it's a really hard time and they're not feeling bright and shiny. It's really hard. And their favorite holiday may be Halloween because it's where they can explore their creativity more than other places. So they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's your favorite holiday. Somebody might really love St. Patrick Day town. That's right. So I think it's important to listen why it may be the favorite holiday.
Like Irish food, what they resonate with. Irish beer, Irish culture, it's all great. I agree with you on all that. I too think when we're watching films specifically, because I think it's easy. It's a different conversation with scripture. Some people have a harder time. Some people have an easier time. I'm going to give another example of this with pop culture. There was an episode of Doctor Who. I think it was not the most recent season, but the season before. I won't give all the details because I don't remember all of them. But it had a lot to do with like social media, reattach our phones, AI, and all this kind of stuff. And I'm trying to figure out what's going on in the episode. And at the end, you find out like, hey, actually, it's a completely white culture and it's actually about racism. And it was so funny because all throughout, like this was a whole social media like fad of like every person of color immediately noticed. All white people were like, I didn't see that coming at all. And I was one of them. So I think that stuff like that, like rewatching that episode thinking, okay, as a person of color, how would I have viewed this episode of television? This is obviously a different exercise. It's just Thanksgiving. It's not that deep, guys. But I think exercise like this can go a lot deeper if it wasn't specifically what we did this time. TJ, any final thoughts or words of wisdom?
About that or the movie as a whole?
In general.
Movie's good. It's also, true. Doing things through different lenses. While I don't do it often watching things, I do it all the time listening to and it changes.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right. Well, with that then, I think we are ready to start wrapping this one up. And, we have some fun stuff. We do have a bonus question coming up at the end. I'm going to give a little context for people. If you listen to the original soundtrack of Nightmare Before Christmas, the narrator at the beginning and end was none other than Patrick Stewart.
Ooh.
Not used in the film for some reason. They didn't use it in the film. And he's not a character or anything in the film. And also, we mentioned before, Thanksgiving Town apparently exists. We never see it. So our bonus question is, if Patrick Stewart were a character in Thanksgiving Town, what character might Patrick Stewart be? Yeah. So if you want to hear us answer that, yeah, go over to our website down in the description, become a member. You'll get to see that. TJ's going to help me with some names here because I do. We're not going to do recommendations, but we do want to recommend if you like Nightmare Before Christmas to check out the comic coming out next January by
the authors. I thought you were going to say by the date. Torin, I believe it's Grenbeck. That's right, Will. You met Edu Mena, Adriano Augusto, and Taylor Esposito. They're working together to create a new Nightmare Before Christmas comic with Tim Burton's blessing.
Yeah.
I'm there, man. I love Torin. I like Torin. She did some work on Thor and other things. And so, I would never have picked up this comic except for them, the author. I can't see their take.
Which is really funny because I don't recognize any of these names. So I wouldn't pick this up if it wasn't for being Nightmare Before Christmas. But instead of recommendations, I want to hear, what is your favorite Thanksgiving tradition, Will?
Getting to the turkey before anybody else does and sneaking pieces of meat, or dark meat, skin after it's been carved. And get your hands away from that. And I'm like, no, I need to try it. Taste testing stuff I shouldn't be eating before everyone else does. That's my favorite. Eating before.
My favorite for my family specifically, we do big extended family Thanksgiving, whole family, you know, usually 60 to 80-ish people. We rent out our church with there. I have a cousin, not going to name him, He runs a tow truck. Lost his leg, you know, a number of years ago. Every year since then, he goes last. And after the prayer, he yells, "Save a leg for me."
That's my favorite Thanksgiving tradition now. It has nothing to do with my favorite.
He goes last, and there's always a leg left for him.
Praise God.
That's a good bit. That's fantastic. That's a great story. That's cool.
I'm going to give two answers because I have to cheat. My favorite tradition is actually Friendsgiving that we're not doing this year for multiple reasons. And specifically, it is cooking for friends who, to me, are like my chosen family. And just being able to have that gift and it be something that's meaningful to me. And guys, I'm not bragging. This is actually just something that makes me feel good. Having the people who are really close to me go, "Man, I don't really like turkey, but Josh does cook good turkey." And that moment and being like, "Hey, man, I delivered something that is really, I love turkey," and being able to share in that love with other people and acknowledge that I do have talent. I am the turkey king. It would be bad of me to be like, "Man, Thanksgiving's coming again." You know, I can't be that guy. I can't be Jack. My other favorite, I'm going to do family one since I don't have Friendsgiving this year, so this will make me feel better. I actually really like, I'm so cheesy for this. I love after the meal when we stop and say what we're thankful for. That part that everybody else hates, my bad opinion, I love it. I live for it. Like, I kind of wish every day, like, I could just greet people and them just tell me what they're most thankful for. It would make me feel good about life.
It's like camp. You end of the day, you're in a cabin, and you're like, share your highs and lows. You're basically sharing what you're thinking.
Yeah. I actually, in between moves at one point, I had a manager once who let me stay with them for a couple weeks, and some of their family did every day. It's like, give me your high or low of the day. They started with lows, thankfully, because I like the highs better. Just me, yeah. Well, yeah, so that's ours. Drop in the comments somewhere. Let us know your favorite Thanksgiving traditions. I never get tired of Thanksgiving, so if you're listening to this in, like, February, that's great. My birthday's in February. I'd love to hear your Thanksgiving tradition. I don't care when you listen to this. Let me know, please. And of course, we are thankful for those who take their time to rate and review our show wherever you get your podcasts. We're also thankful for financial sponsors. I'm especially thankful for Ethan Overcash. We love you. Guys, also, we want to remind you that you can get your own shout out and thankfulness mentioned for $5 a month, becoming a member, official member of Smack Geekology on our website. You can do that. You can do that, and we'll be thankful for it. Or you cannot do that, and we're still thankful for you. You can get free content on some extra free content on our website. You can buy some merch. You can leave a one-time financial gift, some Thanksgiving, if you want to give some thanks that way. We'd appreciate it. All on our website, in the description. I've said that enough times, you should know, I think. Remember also that we are all chosen people, a thankful people, a geekdom of priests. We just wanted to take a moment to ask you all to consider sponsoring our show. You can do so by becoming a member in the website down in the show's description. It takes a lot to keep this show running as far as editing equipment, paying the site that platforms our show to, all the different mediums where you listen to your podcast, going to events. There's a lot of cost behind this. And I was thinking of the most fun way to do this ad, and I was going to do, like, you know, one of those songs where it's like, there's a log on the lake, and then by the end, it's like there's a speck in the eye of the flea on the log on the lake or something. Then I realized that would just take too long, and I don't want to bore you guys. So I'm going to list some of the benefits you can get for being a member as a thank you to those who do take some of their funds to help sponsor our show. At the free tier, you get some perks, including, like, free episodes. Yeah, you don't even have to pay to get extra content that goes along with our annual theme, or even in collaboration with the Rethinking Faith, we're going to be doing Rethinking Comics, and you can get that on our website if you want to follow that series. As you move up to some of the paid tiers, you get access to exclusive merch only for our sponsors. You get access to the bonus questions we do each thing, and all kinds of things that are like shout outs for all tiers. You can get a shout out on the episode. All of the tiers come with some incredible benefits. As you go through some of the different ones moving up, you know, you get different percent off of our merchandise. We just straight up give you money towards purchasing stuff. Some of the tiers just get $10 a month to buy stuff from us. We do free giveaways. Some of the tiers come with birthday presents, Christmas presents, free t-shirt for our members. There are lots of things that we do because we just want to show our appreciation for those who are able to take their funds and sponsor our show. But we also want to remind you, whether or not you can financially support the show, we appreciate everyone who takes their time to listen to this. Remember that verse that's like, perhaps you're here for a time such as this. Well, perhaps you're here for a time such as sponsoring our show, or perhaps you're not here to listen to ads, and I should wrap this up.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.